Amen. This evening, before we go to our message tonight, I would like to read a testimony from Brother Brian Miller. And let me put this up for you to read. It's on November 22nd. He wrote me an email, and he said, "Hi, Brother Brian. Gene had an eye examination yesterday, and they found a small hole in the macula of her right eye. She's been referred for a hospital appointment. Please pray that it heals over without the need of surgery. The surgery aftercare involves being face down for long periods, and because of other physical problems, she could not handle that." Well, they made an appointment, and they were going to perform surgery on her. I received that 6:28 on Saturday morning. But that's when they sent it. 6:28 is when I received it, yes. And then I wrote back in 7:48, "Brother Brian, I have asked my father to heal her eye even before they touch her eye in surgery. We'll continue to thank him for this, Brother Brian." Then on the 22nd, again at 10:48, he said, "Gene wants me to let you know that she feels better now and more at peace. Thanks and God bless." And then this morning, or yesterday morning, we received an email. "Hi, Brother Brian. We're thanking the Lord today for the healing of Sister Jean's eyes, or eye. And when the doctor examined Jean's eye at the hospital, he could find no hole in the macula, first discovered when she had an eye test a few months ago. He said her eyes were in better condition than his own. Thank you for your prayers and for your wonderful fellowship in the Lord." So we see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you take God at his word seriously when he says, "Ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened." He wants to more than you want to ask. He wants to give. And Brother Bram said that himself. So let's go to the word this morning, or this evening. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. And we ask you to be with us, Father. Bless your word as it goes forth. We pray, Father, that you would help us to just get ourselves out of the way and receive what you would have for us to understand. May help us, O God, to take a closer step into being more conformed to the image of your firstborn Son, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, let me see if I can do this again, because this... Okay, and... I don't usually get this thing on the side. Let me see if I can do that. Go out and then this, maybe. Well, let me try it again. Is it showing up at, yeah, that shouldn't show on the side like that. Let me see if it's a different, go to view. And... yeah, how do I get rid of the sidebar? Over here, sidebar. Ah, thank you. Okay. All right. You may be seated. Paragraph 33, picking up there where we left off, Brother Brown said, "He gave them power against unclean spirits. They went out. He put their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he sent them out," Matthew 10, "and gave them power over unclean spirits, cast out evil spirits, and do works," and so forth. "And they came back rejoicing and said, even the devils are subject to us." Now remember, Judas was among them. And Judas never did receive the Holy Ghost. He said, "Don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name's in the book." And Judas was with them. See how close he can come? Right up through justification, move right into sanctification. But where did he show his light? Where did he show himself? Before Pentecost, he showed his colors. Now watch, that spirit will be just as pious and just as sanctimonious as it can be until it comes to the Holy Ghost, and they'll cut it off right there. That's that spirit. Can't you see it moving up? The Antichrist. And Jesus said they'd be so close together in the last days it would deceive the very elected if possible. But remember, it's just the elected that will see it. Amen. Now, if I had the quote with me here, I've got it back in my office, but I don't have really time to get into that tonight. But when I was in the Philippines in 2001, I saw a petition that was being signed. Over 100 message churches had signed it, and they had joined a federation of churches, message churches. So they thought, well, it's a federation of message churches, so we're free from this. But if you look at what Brother Branham says, when the church joins with other church, you've received the mark of the beast. I don't care if it's two churches. I don't care if it's three churches. It only takes two people to make a denomination. When churches join together and then they begin to use that little circle to oust other people from the circle or to prevent fellowship in between, you've taken the mark of the beast. That's how close it is. It's how close it is. It's organization. Brother Bram was always against organization. And maybe a Sunday I can read those quotes for you. Anyway, he said, and Jesus said they'd be so close together in the last days it would deceive the very elected if possible. Well, let me just say this. I just received an email also this week from Kenya. And the government over there in Kenya saying if you don't register, you know, one of your churches in your that believes like you, if they've got to be big enough that they can sponsor all these other churches. And so they're being forced by the government to choose which message church they're going to be associated with. In other words, they've got to choose which denomination within the message that they've got to join to. Or they're going to shut them down. I said, let them be shut down. We're going back to the early church. We'll be meeting in the homes. I said, the early church stayed under the radar. They kept things low key. And you know, they went, they had to go that way. I will not, and I'll say this also, when I was in Congo, in 2004, we had great, wonderful meetings, 2007. Then something started happening. Some of the brothers that were backing me with the doctrine of, you know, the message doctrine, they began to try to organize the message doctrine to the place where you couldn't visit their country without getting their permission. And I said nonsense to that. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They don't need to get permission from some man somewhere. You know, all I had to do was say, you know, I had an invitation from a pastor. And I said, brother, if you want me to come, I'll come. And the big boys, they even those who were actually looking at me as being their mentor actually cut me out and said, well, you didn't come through us, so we're not going to support the meetings. And they boycotted the meetings. You've got the mark of the beast right in the message, brothers, sisters. People don't realize they've taken the mark, they've taken organization over the Word of God. Now, he said, but remember, it's just the elected will see it. God calls by election. Aren't you happy that you're one of them? Aren't you people here tonight knowing that something is in your heart tugging? I want the Holy Spirit. I want you, Lord, in my heart. Because that's because God put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. And he said that no man can come to me, but said Jesus, except my Father has drawn him first. And all that comes to me, I'll give them eternal life. What is eternal life? The Holy Spirit. Eternal life. Take that word and run it into the Greek, and it's Zoe. Zoe is the Holy Spirit. All that the Father's given me will come to me, and all that come to me, I'll give him the Holy Ghost, and I'll raise him up the last day. I will do it. He said, not no ifs and ands about it. I will, all that comes, and I'll give eternal life. He will have to raise, because he's got eternal life. He's got to come. Can't die no more than God can die. I think that's one thing you've got to get in your heart, really not only in your head, but in your heart. You can't die. They might take the body, but you've got God life in you. Nobody can take that from you. They can come in here and bust down the doors and do everything they want to. They're not going to take that from you. They can't take it from you. It's God life. Oh, my dear friends, from around the country and in this little city, if I could only with my human voice place into your heart the importance of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it would be the most wonderful revelation that you ever had in your life. Oh, I thought Peruzzi was the most wonderful revelation until the Godhead came along. I thought then the Godhead was the most wonderful revelation. Now, Brother Bram said, no, this knowing that you have God life in you is the most wonderful revelation that you could ever have in your life to see what... You must do it. Let me make that clear about you're not converted. Peter had been saved. He believed on the Lord. He followed him. Jesus told him who he was. had him to follow him. He gave him power against unclean spirits and sanctified him. But after all of that, and become the chief spokesman of the group, well, as the Catholics would call it, we want to call it the bishop of the church or the pope or whatever it was, the head man of the church, yet Jesus said the night of his betrayal, "Lovest thou me, Peter?" And he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." He said that three times, and Peter said, "You know I love you?" You know I love you. He said, "I'll go with you to the end, and I'll go with you to the death," and so forth. And he said, before the cock crowed, or has crowed three times, he said, "Before the cock crows, you'll have denied me, Peter, three times." He said, "But Peter, I've prayed for you." Now listen, that's not all of it. "I have prayed for you, and after you are converted, then strengthen your brethren." Why did Peter run and forsake Jesus like the rest of them did? They weren't born again. They didn't see what Jesus saw. But let me tell you something. Jesus didn't hold it against him either. He said, "I'll pray for you, Peter. I'll pray for you." Now listen, that's not all of it. "I prayed for you, and after you are converted, then strengthen your brethren." After you're converted. He had shouted. He had probably danced in the spirit. He had walked in water. He had done all kinds of things, but he hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. "After you're converted, then strengthen your brethren." That's true. Carry out his plan. Peter, without having received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, walked on water. Yeah. Now, I'd like to summarize what we just read. Brother Ram, using Peter as his example, he says, you can be justified. You can even be saved and even living a sanctified life, but that does not even mean that you're converted yet. You can be aware that the shout of the king is in the camp. You can live in the presence of God, because Peter certainly did for 3 years, 3.5 years. You can see God work in his great supernatural ways and even be aware of his parousia presence, and that still doesn't make you converted yet. You can have that great revelation Peter had, wherein he said, "Thou art the Son of the living God," and understand all about Father and Son, and that does not yet even make you converted. Therefore, it is not about what doctrine you believe, nor is it about your witnessing miracles and healing, or even about how many prayers that you've offered up to God and how many healings came as a result to your prayers. That's wonderful, but that doesn't mean that you're still converted yet. There's only one thing, therefore, that you can do, and that is to die to yourself and all that you are. Die, die, die to yourself. And then if God chooses to raise you up and place his spirit in you, then you'll be converted. Because the word conversion means the act or process of changing from one form or state, etc., to another. From just a normal human being to a son of God. Therefore, what Brother Branham is illustrating through looking at the life of Peter is, although he had lived with Jesus for over 3 years and had been saved and was living a sanctified life filled with the power to heal and lay hands on the sick and even to walk on water and see many mighty miracles, yet Peter still was not converted, and therefore was able to backslide and renounce his friendship with Jesus just as easy as anyone else, because he still was not converted. Then the conversion is the most important thing that we could have in our life. More than miracle working power, more than the ability to understand all the doctrines of presence and Godhead and sonship and everything else. Because being converted means that you have changed from one form to another form, from human to son of God, from mortal to immortal, and you cannot do it on your own. The Bible says it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. It also says he that began the work in you will perform it. And therefore, as we read in 2 Timothy 1:9, it is God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Romans 9:16 tells us, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that even runneth, but of God who shows mercy. And again in 1 John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see from the quotes that Brother Branham is showing us here and from the scriptures, that when a person is born again, something enters into that person. The very life of God comes into them, and they begin to see what other people cannot see. In 1 John 1 and 12, we're told, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that word power is translated from the Greek word exousia, which means an ability, a power, or ability to become or manifest oneself. And we see what that manifestation entails. We are to come into manifestation as sons of God. This does not read, "As many as received him, to them gave he the ability to change from what they are now to what they would be like to be." You don't change species, actually. You become what you were ordained to be before the foundations of the world. It reads, "As many as were of such a nature as to be able to receive him and hold on to him, who is the word, the same gave he an innate ability or authority to exercise what they were ordained to be, and that is sons of God." And that's, let me just lay that. I'd like to be able to underline and highlight while I'm standing here. An ability or authority to exercise your sonship. That is why the same apostle later wrote, "Beloved, you are already sons, but you just don't see it manifested in yourselves that you are sons. But when he shall appear, then you will see him as he truly is. And when you see him as he truly is, then you too will manifest what you truly are." The problem is that we don't believe, or we would be manifesting sonship. There's something yet hindering your belief. When he said, "If you ask in my name, I'll do it," do you take him at his word? Do you then go forth and take a hold of every demon? Take a hold of the devil and give me an old boot? If you know, it's like Brother Bram told the story about the guy that the devil said, "Boo," and he got smaller. "Boo," and he got smaller. He said, finally, "Boo," back to the devil, and the devil got smaller. And kept saying, "Boo, boo, boo," until the devil was just, you know, they just kicked him out. So we're dealing with something that is in your nature, deep in the recesses of your soul to begin with. What Paul calls the inner man by election and predestination. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate," that means predetermine, "to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say of these things? If God before us, who's going to be against us?" I don't care if all the preachers in this message come against me. I'm going to stick right here with the prophet. They can do everything they want to. They can talk behind my back every day of the week. I don't care. They'll have to answer for it. And I'll have to answer for if I compromise because of it. Now, how can you be conformed to the image of Christ if you were not ordained to it in the first place? A knot on a tree could never understand what it means to be free and to walk around and live an active life. He's stuck in the tree by his very nature of being a knot. In fact, Brother Bram said from Return and Jubilee, he said, "Before I could act as a human, before I could walk like a human, before I could talk like a human, I have to be born a human. How would a knot on a tree know how I acted? How could he ever say, I don't act like that? The only way that he could be that would be to be born like me." That's the way organization is dead. Drawed people away because it went after a creed. What's a creed? It's a belief. Parousia is a belief. God has a belief. You see, they go after a belief. But in order to be a son of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become a Christ. Then you become Christ-like, and you do the works of Christ. Then if you're not funny, then you're not funny to them people. A human acting like a human is not funny. A Christian acting like a Christian, born of the same spirit, it's not funny. It's a reality. And neither can one who was never in the mind of Christ, nor can anyone who never were predestined to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, know what it means to be a son of God in the image of the firstborn son. Again, John 1 and 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power," exousia, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And notice the very next verse, "which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It's all about him. It's not about you. And your part is very, very simple. All you have to do is to die to your own self and let Christ come in and live your life for you. And Brother Branham illustrates Peter to show you that no matter what your circumstances are, you must be converted and you must be changed. That's it. I don't care if you fished with the prophet, if you went hunting with the prophet, if you went shopping with Levi. That was his thing. It doesn't do you any good. You've got to be born of the same one they're born from. Now, let's continue from what the Holy Ghost is given for. He says, now, let me finish reading John 14 and 12. Now, in the 14th chapter and 12th verse, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, and you cannot believe, believeth on me, you can believe unto him. How many understands that? Say amen. Congregation says amen. You remember Acts 19, I hate to stop this here, but I just have to say it as it comes to me. In Acts, the 19th chapter, when this Baptist preacher, which was a lawyer and was converted, and he was preaching and getting people saved, and they had a great joy, just rejoicing and shouting and having a meeting, Acts 18, Aquila and Priscilla, we referred to it last evening, and they had went to see him, and they know that he was a great man, and he was a student, and he was proving by the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God, only knowing the baptism of John. He didn't know the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. So it said, Aquila and Priscilla, that husband and wife, little tent makers, which Paul was a tent maker also, and they'd received the Holy Ghost under Paul's teaching. And they said, we've got a little brother that's coming up here. Let him talk to us a little bit about it. And when Paul came up and heard him preach, note he was a great man, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, well, we know not whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said, then how was you baptized? And they said, we've been baptized already by John the Baptist. Now watch what Paul said. Paul said that John verily baptized unto repentance, not for remission of sins, but unto repentance. Saying that's what you believe when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You're believing unto the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And my dear Baptist brethren, it is wrong. And that is a problem all over this message, brother, sister. The people have believed unto the message. You have not yet entered into the message, which is Christ. And knowing about the message and becoming the message are two very different things completely altogether. Knowing about Christ and becoming Christ himself are totally two different things. To know about him and then to become him, there's no comparison. The Apostle Paul didn't say that we might know about him and about the power of his resurrection, but he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Know, ginosko, experience the power of his resurrection. Where? In me. Philippians 3 and 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So if you're going to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, the very first thing is you've got to be conformable unto his death. And what was that? When he died to himself in Gethsemane. Brother Brown said that's when he had his greatest victory. He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when you know the power of his resurrection, when you've experienced the power of his resurrection, it is because you have experienced it firsthand. And notice he said, after knowing him and the power of his resurrection, he said, and being made conformable unto his death, and that's your key right there to understanding your own conversion and whether it has genuinely taken place or not. Have you genuinely died to yourself? Have you come to that climax in your life where you're just dead? Nothing's important to you anymore but him. Have you been made conformable unto his death? Have you entered into fellowship, the fellowship of his sufferings? Now remember, fellowship is defined by Brother Branham and Brother Bosworth as two fellows in one ship. Everything that happens to one happens to the other. You share life in that ship together equally. The same rain that falls on one falls on the other. The same heat of the sun that bakes one, bakes down the other. And the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, by joining him in being conformable unto his own death, you are dying to self just as he died to self, and you suffer right along with him when he suffers, and you are raised to life by the same power that raised him to life. For I stand at the door and knock, Brother Branham said, when he's Lord over all. And that's what he's knocking for. Let him in. I want to come in and sup. What supping is fellowship. When you got fellowship one with another, how that the Lord and you are buddies, your partners. And whatever you have, he has too. Whatever he has then, you have too. You see, he becomes you that you might become him. And everything is common or in common. That takes us to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He says, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors and some teachers, for the perfecting, that's the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature, that's the character, of the fulfilling of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, let's just read. But this being built up into a mature adult in Christ, he tells us, it will result in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him. Him who? Him, Christ. That we might grow up into Christ himself, in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now, he didn't say that we might grow up unto Christ, as if Christ is here and you are here. He said that we might grow up into Christ. So what Paul is saying here, he's saying, look, there's only one body. And that is the body of Christ. And that body has but one head, and that head is Christ himself, and he is the Word. And as you are a member of this one body, which Christ is the head of that body, then all you do as a member of this head will be governed by what the head calls for you to do. All actions of the body are governed and controlled by the head. And he tells us in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure, in the metron, which is a limited portion of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying. In other words, every fiber in your body, every vessel in your arms, in your legs, it works in conjunction with the heart. And it's all controlled by the mind. Your nerves, every joint supplieth. Every joint supplieth. Working for the body. And Christ is the head of that body. In plain English, he's telling us there is only one body, and that we are a part of that one body, and the head of that body is Christ. And every joint, every cell, every atom which makes up every cell, no matter what limited portion it may be, we all work together for the good of that one body, in order for this body to function or operate correctly. In other words, every single vessel in this body is fitted for the purpose of bringing energy to the rest of the body. All the vessels, all the capillaries, all the arteries work together with the heart to supply energy to the rest of the body, making all things work together for the good. And we are the all things in Christ. And all members working together, he said, to the effectual working, which is the energia, or the energizing of that one body, so that the body may manifest the life of Christ. Notice he said we are to grow up into him in all things. Now the Greek word there was translated as into is EIS. And it expresses motion, indicating the point reached or entered. In other words, indicating the final resting place, or as we would say, the goal of our salvation, is being Christ. From Galatians 3:27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Romans 3:13-14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. As I said, Jacob had to beat Esau before he could be given the blessing of the firstborn, because Esau was the firstborn. So Jacob had to look like him, had to smell like him, had to feel like him, had to come in his name, had to do the works of Esau. And then he was given the blessing of Esau. From fellowship, Brother Bram said, did you ever think of it, sinner? I thought this, me unlovable, me not worthy in Christ, the Son of God, came down and become me, that I through his grace might become him. And we stand in the presence of God, not as sinners, but as sons and daughters of God, washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That ought to tear the heart of any sinner to realize that Christ becomes sin, that you, through the righteousness of his obedience to God, might become him. In the presence of God, to stand without blemish or without through the shed blood of his offering. In other words, as Paul says in Romans 8, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self to live after self, for if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of self, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, that's God's very own Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And how does God do that? John 14:12, Mark 16, etc. The life you live. From working of the Holy Spirit, Brother Bram said, now, no wonder Paul could say, I know him in the power of his resurrection. Now, I don't know him by a book. I don't know him by a letter. I know him in the power of his resurrection. Do you know him that way? If you've been born again, you do know him that way, in the power of his resurrection. And from the seal of God, he said, like St. Paul of old said, I know him in the power of his resurrection, and when he calls out from among the dead, I'll be called out with them. Knowing him in the power of his resurrection, not knowing him by word or by deed, but knowing him in the power of his resurrection. That's one of the greatest hopes tonight, and the only hope that we have is that the great resurrection of the Lord Jesus and our preliminary resurrection, we have now from the death unto life, by having eternal life through Jesus Christ. In other words, you've got to be raised from who you are to who he is in order to go in the resurrection or in order to get a body change. He calls it a preliminary resurrection. That's the new birth. Hallelujah. That's your assurance that you know that no matter what happens, you're not going to hell. Get that thinking out of your mind that you're going to backslide and you're going to go someplace that you're not. You are his. And he can't leave this earth without you. Hallelujah. In questions and answers, someone asked Brother Branham the question. Now, Brother Branham, could Jesus look like you? Or you be Jesus? Or something like that? One sense of the word, that's exactly the truth. Another sense of the word is an antichrist. That's the difference between right and wrong. To make me the person of the Lord Jesus Christ would be an antichrist. See? For that person of the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high and will come again in great power and glory. But for his life that was in him, being upon me and upon you who have him, it's exactly the truth. And you become Christ. You don't become Jesus. You become Christ. Remember my message on the Messiahs? See? You are, the word Messiah means the anointed one. Now you are, if you have the Holy Spirit, you become the anointed one. See, then there's all kinds of anointed ones. Now, Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I'm alive, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I am now living in this flesh, I live by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you have the revelation of the Son of God? If you do, remember, revelation, the definition is manifestation of divine truth. Has God manifested his divine truth in you and made you alive to it? I believe he has. from Go Wake Jesus. He said, but the real believer, no matter what, they're thoroughly satisfied. They're thoroughly convinced because the life that's in them has already become Christ. It is Christ. It's no more you, but Christ that lives in you. And no matter, there's nothing. Paul said, present, future, death, peril, nakedness, whatever it is can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. No matter how many of this, that, or the other rise up, how many doctors of divinity can try to explain it away and say it's for another day, that don't separate you at all. You're there to stay. It's you in Christ. You're no more your own. That's you. You and God alone. And from forsaking all, he said, if the spirit of the gangster was in me, I'd have guns on me. If the spirit of a painter was in me, I could paint the picture of a painter. He could do it. He could do. If the spirit of a mechanic was on me, I could tell you what was wrong with your car. See? And if the spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ, is in me, I'll do the works of Christ because it's the life of Christ in you. See? Manifested in who? Manifested in who? He forsaken his sonship and became sin and took our sin that he might take sinners and make them sons. He became me that I might become him. He became a sinner that I might become a son of God. Oh, it's striking what he done. See, he taken your place that you might take his place. You're joint heirs with him in the kingdom. He become a sinner like you, and your sins was placed upon him that he might take you and make you a fellow citizen of heaven and set you with him in God's kingdom. These you are, put his spirit in you, and if his spirit's in you, the works that he did, you'll do also. That's why I love when there comes a challenge. Honestly, I do. I love when there comes a challenge that I can just get out of Brian and do whatever he says. He said, lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. I don't even have any second doubts to say, I wonder if it'll happen. I say, he promised it. You remember Sister Helena when the brother came in and the bottom of his foot had been cut off? Didn't faze me a bit. I'm always willing to see a miracle. Now, I can't do it, but I can only do what he told me to do. He said, lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. And God took that man and grew back all that stuff under his foot. I mean, you saw he was scraped down to the bone. Three layers of skin. He had the tendons and cartilage and everything else was scraped off that bone. It all grew back. And here was a man that was a diabetic. He didn't even feel when that screw had gone into his foot. And he worked out, standing, you know, that screw was in his boot all day long. He worked on it. They had to cut his boot off at night. His foot was so swelled up. He had such bad gangrene, they wanted to take the whole leg off. And God grew everything back and took away the gangrene. That's just a demon. Hallelujah. I get excited when there's opportunity. It's not me showing off, it's him showing off. You ought to be the same way. You ought to get excited when God gives you opportunity to pray and believe and see results. It's like about 2 months ago, the brother was going, brother from Africa was on his way to Brazil, and he had a terrible, terrible headache. And he wrote to a friend of mine. The friend wrote to me, and I said, brother, I said, let's just pray. And I prayed, and I said, now, brother, I said, it is now, I think it was like 9:05. It's 9:05. Ask him what time God healed him. He asked him what time God healed him. He said, 9:05. I just read you the testimony tonight. You saw it up here. The brother wrote, he said, my wife just got diagnosed with a hole in her macula. I don't even know what the macula is. I know it's part of the eye. And I said, well, what's too big for God? I said, brother, let's pray and continue to believe that before the surgeon's hand can do surgery on her, God will have healed that thing. And the 27th, which is yesterday, she went back to the doctor. She was going to have her surgery, and he said, don't need no surgery. Your eyes are better than mine. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just need to believe it and put it into practice. He's looking for his sons to talk like him, act like him, do the works that he did. That's all. And you know what? If you have the Holy Ghost, you're more than capable. Because it's not you anyway. It's him. Hallelujah. From Kinsman Redeemer, he said, he become me that I might become him. Honestly, if you could identify with the cross, just pray, get on your knees some night. Just pray until you can see that your sin, that he stepped into your place. He took your death penalty. He lifted that from you. And in the process, you become him. That's what he wants. We have become him. He become me that I might become him. See? He become a sinner that I might become a son of God. He become a sinner that you might become a son of God. And now we are sons and daughters of God. And from his wonders to perform, Brother Brown said, he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son that he might drink the bitter cup for you. Remember, he became you that you might become him. He become a sinner, separated from the Father when he screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated from God in his death that you in your death might have God's presence. He become a child of God. He become a child of sin, your sins, not his own, that you might become a child of obedience. He took your place as a time creature that you might take his place as an eternal son or daughter of God. And from thirsting, he said, he become you that you, who through his grace might become him, sons and daughters of God. That's John 14:20. At that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And from things that are to be, he said, you confess your sins before God, and he forgive you for it. And you was baptized to show that you've been forgiven, confessing to the people and showing to the world that you believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And he took your place, and now you stand in his place. He become you that you might become him. Then the sanctifying power of God cleansed all the habits out of your life. You used to smoke, you used to drink, do those things that wasn't right, tell lies, everything. Then the satisfying power of the blood of Jesus Christ comes into your life and it takes all those things away from you. If you happen to say something that's wrong, quickly you say, wait a minute, pardon me, I didn't mean to say it like that. See, the devil got a trap setting there. But you've got grace to come back if you're a real Christian and say, I was wrong. Yes, so therefore. From identification, he said, now, you study that character a little bit and then look at yourself and look at myself. But that's what he was. That's who he was. And that's why he was to save you. He took and he become you that you might become him. He took your load of sin. Therefore, when we come to meet him, we will not have to stand. We could not stand in the presence of God. There's no way for us to do it. But when we stand in him, see, he's already recognized the sacrifice. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He recognized it. There was no blemish on him. And yet he suffered temptation like any other man. And yet he was scorned. He was made fun of. He was persecuted from the hour that he was born until the hour he died. And yet he returned good for evil. You cannot no way ever produce a character like that, only accepting that character in you. A church cannot do it. A creed cannot do it. A denomination cannot do it. Listen, a doctrine cannot produce that. That's the creed. And education cannot do that. It must be a birth. It's got to be a dying out and let God in. By the grace of God, mold this type of character into you that you become him and your life and his is the same. Then you are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. And I recognize, Father, this is where you're drawing us. We are growing up into Christ. Hallelujah. Not growing up into Jesus, but growing up into anointed sons and daughters of God. Anointed ones, Messiahs. And Father, we just ask you that you would help us to continue to die to self on a daily basis and allow your Holy Spirit to live our life for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able. Amen. Let's sing that song together. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded.